Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we're going to be talking National League GAA in a preview with Brendan Kilcoyne, Cathair O'Kane and Donegal manager Declan Bonner. Plus, we hear from Donegal MMA fighter Darragh Kelly, who will make his long-awaited pro debut next month on the Bellator bill at Dublin's 3 Arena. But we're going to start with Gaelic Games. The National League for 2022 kicks off this weekend with Donegal playing Mayo in Sligo on Sunday. Tyrone face Monaghan and Derry will host Down. I've been looking ahead to the weekend's action with Highlands match analyst Brendan Kilcoyne and GA writer with the Irish News, Cathair O'Kane. Cathair, we'll maybe get your thoughts first of all, Cathair, because it's been a while since you've been on air with us. We're heading into the league. It's an exciting time. All the teams have gone through their pre-season competitions. Is there any of the Northwest counties that showed you anything that there's a lot of promise there in the opening couple of games?
I read Eamon McGee's column there the other day, and he said, you know, never judge a footballer in January, never judge a footballer in this time of the year. And it's hard to tell. Obviously, Donegal have done fairly well in the McKenna Cup as it goes. Maybe some of the areas of concern for them, they've had a wee bit of a look at as well, but they've done all right. Tyrone have got a lot of new faces in there, and they're obviously playing catch up from the team holiday around Christmas and that, so it's nearly impossible to judge them. Derry have a couple of new faces in as well, went fairly strong in the McKenna Cup, and I don't think they were shedding any tears over losing the semi-final to Donegal. I know there was a wee bit of unhappiness in a lot of the counties about the, you know, piling the games on top of the Sigerson and different things, so I think there'll be nobody getting too downhearted about this time of year. I think they've all probably held their own to some degree, and all took enough out of the McKenna Cup that they'll feed them into the league.
Yeah. Brendan, you watch a lot of the Donegal games. What's the positives do you feel for Declan Bonner coming out of the McKenna Cup as we go to what is classed as could be a real tough start against Mayo this weekend?
Yeah, there's no doubt it's going to be a tough start. Listen, I suppose the fact that they got 4 games, Oisín, and they got to try out a good few players, and I suppose the positives, you know, you look at the form of Padraig Mogan, he's playing great football. They've got Michael Murphy back on the pitch. So, you know, and we saw last weekend how important, and we all knew that before last weekend. We know that a long time now, the significance and importance of having Michael on the pitch and having a fit Michael on the pitch. You know, last year, you know, obviously there were niggles and there were injuries that curtailed his probably training regime getting into the big games. So Donegal will be hoping that he can get an injury-free run at it. And, you know, you're looking at Donegal, will they go as gung-ho as they have done last year, or will they revert to a more defensive type system, bearing in mind that, you know, they have been opened up defensively, and there obviously are concerns about how they will defend, and they're going to be tested as soon as they get into Markovic Park next Sunday against a Mayo team that, you know, you have to have great admiration for. They keep coming every year. They keep coming back. And the players back this year, Jason Doherty is back. Brendan Harrison is back. I don't think Killian O'Connor is going to make it. But Oisín Mullen, obviously not heading to Australia, was a huge lift. And you can feel the reverberations and the excitement of that around Mayo. So, listen, Donegal have a... It's going to be a big and important league campaign for them, because then, you know, it's with the championship starting in April this year, I think at around the 24th of April, Donegal are out against Armagh. Every game, the 7 games that they play through the National League are going to be of huge importance. And we all know that, you know, teams, in order to win the All-Ireland at this stage, you nearly have to be playing in Division 1. So the league has assumed greater significance down through the years, so it has. And Donegal, you know, a way to, albeit in Markovic Park and Sligo, is a massive game, a massive opener for both teams. And it'll be just interesting to see how they line up or what new can they bring to the table. As I said, Padraig Mogan has been in scintillator form for both Donegal and LYIT, who had a massive win during the week against UCD.
Brendan mentioned the point about maybe question marks over Donegal defensively, Cahar, but at the other end, if you have your men scoring, is that such a big concern the way modern day football has been played at the moment?
I think the big thing for Brendan's 100% right. The big thing for Donegal over the last few years has been their ability to control games by being so dominant in the middle of the field. So physically imposing in around the middle that they can control possession and win so much ball and sort of almost no matter how much they're conceding, they'll always get enough ball and enough chances to win any game. It's what happens when that breaks down. That's the big issue. And I suppose when they look back at the Tyrone game last year, it was an area that they've usually done well against Tyrone in. They didn't do too badly, but by their own standards, it wasn't the domination that they used to, and they ended up losing the game. But look, Donegal, for a wee while, have struggled defensively. You know, the fact that they haven't found any real sort of strength in the full back line. Neil McGee still horsing away. I don't know what way he'll be for any of the National League this year. Steve McManaman's had his own injury problems, and without those two, they look very, very weak in terms of men that can do the man marking jobs. To me, I think what typifies the problem for them, Owen Van Gallagher is potentially one of the best attacking wing halfbacks in Ireland if he got a run in the position and got play in it. But so often in the last couple of years, he's had to play fullback, had to play cornerback, had to try and do different jobs that maybe don't necessarily suit his skill set 100%. And just think, until Donegal find a couple of real dogged, horrible defenders, if you like, it's going to be an uphill battle. They won the big trophies for them.
Yeah. Well, Brendan, two games to start things in a 7-day period. Mayo in Marchevic Park and Sligo, and then the following again against Kildare. If you got two wins in the opening two matches, it would put you on a solid footing to stay up in Division 1, which would be the main target as you go to Championship, Brendan.
Oh, absolutely, Oisín. But that's easier said than done. It's as I mentioned, it's going to be a huge task. There's you're coming up against a Mayo team who are thereabouts every year. They're so strong in every department, and you have the likes of Owen McLaughlin. We saw him play for Limerick and Sigerson there a couple of weeks ago, and he looks in great shape. You have Ryan O'Donoghue, who was added real jizz to the Mayo forward line. So, we are going to be in good shape, I feel, coming into this game. James Horan will have them well primed, and it's a big ask for Donegal. I think it's going to be a fantastic day down in Markovic on Sunday. It's a tight pitch, 12,000 capacity. It's going to be full house. So it's going to be a big game with an element of Championship feel about it. To have the crowds back is a big thing too. And, it's important, I suppose, that Donegal travel in numbers and get behind the team down there. But you're looking at the second game then against Kildare, and I'm sure that's one that Donegal will identify as a must win. I think it'll be a bonus to get something. There's never too much between Mayo and Donegal, but Mayo have been getting the better of these ties in recent years, and Donegal need to get to the stage where they're taking out these big guns on a regular basis, and they haven't been doing that, Oisín. They haven't had Tyrone, they've had joy over Tyrone, but that's turned back the other way after last year. And the Kerrys, the Dublins, the Mayos, these are the teams that they need to lay a marker down against if they have aspirations to go on and be competing at the latter end of the Championship come the summer. And, the questions that have been asked of Donegal in recent years, they haven't really answered. And yes, they've landed Ulster Championships, but it's beyond that, and it's taken them aforementioned teams down that are the big question mark for them. So I think it would be a bonus if Donegal get out of the game on Sunday. But I feel that Kildare game at home is a must-win for Donegal, Oisín.
Okay. A lot of mention, obviously, about the Championship, Cahar, from both of you guys, and we haven't even started the league yet, but the Championship is the big one. Does Dublin and Kerry then look into, and even Tyrone now, in that respect as well, given they're the defending All-Ireland champions, do they read much into the league? Do they take much away from it as they head to the big competition of the year?
I think they'll read a fair bit in terms of performances and who's playing well in their own setup. Results-wise, I think the first priority for everybody is making sure they stay up, and particularly for Tyrone, just in the winter that it's been, obviously the late-ish championship in terms of the new split season, and then the club being busy, then they had the holiday away in Florida, and they looked very rusty when they came home in the McKenna Cup. They tried out a lot of new players, and so it's hard to see that they just hit the ground running in terms of the National League. Tyrone have had plenty of seasons where they've just scraped their way to safety in Division 1, and that has contented them. And I think for them, I think they would take the same at this stage of the year. Kerry and Dublin, probably different set of priorities. Kerry's just their 18th year in a row in Division 1. Like, they don't get relegated. They're always looking towards the top end of it and the attacking quality that they have. But then, same issue as with Donegal, in terms of finding the real quality one-to-one defenders that I wouldn't say Tyrone unearthed, but Tyrone found reason to trust last year. Left their fullback line one-on-one, and that was a huge impact on why they won the All-Ireland. And Kerry just aren't in a position yet where they seem like they're able to do that either. They don't have the one-to-one defenders. Probably like most people, I've been a wee tiny bit surprised that Stephen Ockenbauer has come home from Australia and was such a towering fullback on the under-21 team before he went away, and has been sort of playing around midfield since he came home, and just that they haven't tried him in the fullback line to see how he gets on. Maybe he's past that. Maybe he was never going to be a long-term fullback for them. But given their lack of options in that area of the field, I'm surprised that they haven't looked at that.
Yeah. As for Monaghan, Tyrone, does Monaghan have a bit more work done than Tyrone as they head to the start of the league? Is that a game that Monaghan can win at Healy Park, given the fact that they played on it as well last week? So they've a bit of freshness with the turf around the Oma venue as well, Ciar.
Yep, Monaghan will look back on last year with real disappointment. Like, I sort of wrongly in the end, but I sort of told anybody who listened last year that I thought Monaghan would win the Ulster final. I thought they would beat Tyrone, and had they brought anything in the first half, I think they'll look back with real regret on that. Monaghan have had a lot of sharpness about them in the last 18 months, a fair wee bit of freshness, and a few players who have really developed over the last couple of years, Garen Mulligan, and their attack as well. I see just in the McKenna Cup interest, and he sort of pushed Conor McCarthy to wing half back, which will be interesting to look at, see how he gets on there, and it could cause teams a lot of problems from there. But look, Monaghan are always thereabouts. And we talk about their age profile, we've been talking about their age profile for a long time, but the fellas that are there, Darren Hughes is still as fit and as fresh. Conor McManus will come out of his shell in a couple of weeks' time, I'm sure. And Monaghan staying up is obviously the aim for them as well. But what's this, their 7th, 8th season in a row in Division 1, and they're well established. And I would fancy that they're further down the line than Tyrone for this weekend, surely.
Yeah, and Dublin are starting things off, Brendan, this weekend, Saturday night against Armagh, and I'm sure the Dubs will be looking to make a statement in 2022, given the way that they lost their reign last year, and they want all them trophies that they lost back again, so they will, Brendan, and you expect them to have a good crack at the league, do you?
Oh, absolutely, and the Dubs all as well. You know what they're going to bring. There's so much quality up there, and I suppose they have the one asset that's going to be crucial going into this year, I feel, is squad depth. There's no doubt about it. You're looking at Big Pather Coffee Byrne, as you call him, in the middle of the field. He's a huge unit of a man. And if they have him to complement Brian Fenton's attributes there, obviously that's a big, big asset to have. So it is. And, it's about unearthing another couple of forwards for themselves. I don't think Paul Mannion appears to be staying with Kilmacud and hasn't come back into the fold. And, quality forwards like him, no matter how much you can produce, are hard come by. And, would you just feel that, having that squad dead for the 7-game National League games in 9 weeks and then turning into championship them straight after that is going to be hugely important, that you can have players that you can trust come the heat of the championship, come the summer. Like, listen, the league is very important and it is huge significance, obviously, kind of thing to all teams. But at the end, ultimately, it's about getting your squad ready and getting players that you can trust to throw into the fray come championship time in April, May, June, when the chips are really down. And, you know, Dublin, there's no doubt about it, they're going to have a dearth of talent in that respect. So they are a huge amount of talent in that respect. And, you know, they'll be coming up against an Armagh side who have made strides under Kieran McGeaney. They are getting better. They're going to be a big ask for Donegal in the first round of the Championship on April 24th. Because McGeaney will have them firing on all cylinders. I've seen huge improvements. And you see the likes of Rian O'Neill and these guys, and they're just, you know, he's a phenomenal footballer. You know, it's a big ask for Armagh to go to Croke Park against Dublin in the first game, and it's hard to see anything but a Dublin win there. But again, it comes back to squad depth and how they can manage that through the next couple of months in order to be best prepared come the big tests that are going to lie ahead for all these teams.
Yep. Just back to Tyrone, Cathair, because they lost a couple of players over the last number of weeks, four or five players gone from the panel. They got the All-Ireland medal and they decided to step away. What about Tyrone's depth then as they go to 2022?
There's no doubt it takes a hit with what they've lost. The only thing being that, you know, they probably had a greater degree of depth than most counties last year when you had Richie Donnelly and Rory Brennan and Ronan O'Neill didn't even make the 26 for the All-Ireland final last year. Sort of shows you where they're at as well. So, you know, they had back-to-back Ulster winning under-20 teams in 2019-2020. They had a wee bit early yet for last year's team that reached the All-Ireland minor final, but and then obviously the strength of club football in Tyrone. I'm not saying that particularly. I think Mark Bradley and Tiernan McCann will be difficult to replace in terms of, you know, real match day options that they were regularly used and could joy out of, but I think I don't think it's just a disaster for them. Certainly I think they'll find a way to cope and they'll give experience to a few fellas and I think they'll rebuild that strength fairly sharpish.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to Division 2. Cathair, Derry ticking on down under Rory Gallagher. Derry have been progressing over the last couple of years. Can the Oakleaf men get out of that division and make it to the top flight of the league, Cathair?
They have progressed hugely under Rory. I think Rory himself has looked at the league and maybe, you know, unusually since he has come today, you know, the thing about Rory in all his public dealings and in everything that he's said publicly, you know, he has really talked the team up, really, you know, why shouldn't we? And we, you know, last year, you know, we expect to walk out of Division 3 here. We expect to go to Ballybofey and beat Donegal. And for the first time, he's probably just tempered it a wee tiny bit by talking about sort of, you know, needing to break into the top 12, which suggests, you know, top four of that division. And I certainly think that's where Derry will be at, but it's a tough league to get out of. Like, there's decent teams in there. Galway, Roscommon, Cork, Derry. You know, there's enough there that you just need everything to go your way. Derry are definitely in the mix for going up, but, like, I wouldn't like to be putting any money on any of them at this stage because there's very, very little between probably a handful of those teams.
Yeah, and a good start against Down on Saturday, 6 o'clock start in Celtic Park for the Derry men. If you are to be in that mix, as we know, Brendan, you have to make sure you win your home games first of all.
Yeah, 100%. And listen, I know Rory well, and I know he'll have them well fired up. I think he's done a great job in Derry so far, and he seems to have pulled the whole thing together. The team are now playing as a team. You know, there was all this talk behind the scenes of Derry not pulling together and club v county and all that. But he seems to have crossed that bridge with them, and he's got a unified bunch of players that I think, and a lot of quality. And he also has, I suppose, introduced a few of the minors, the All-Ireland winning minor team, and it's about integrating them into the team. And listen, there's no doubt there's a huge amount of quality footballers in Derry. And Rory is pulling them in the right direction, and I think they'll give Division 2 a right good shot. And I think they'll have too much for Down on Saturday night, particularly at home. And it would be a great start to get them off and get them going in the league. And, you know, they're going to, again, be one eye on Ulster Championship. And, you know, I know Rory Gallagher well. He takes no challenge lying down, and he's going to really push them on. And, you know, I can see them causing a lot of teams problems this year, Oisin.
Yeah, we'll dip into Division 4 briefly. We don't get too many opportunities to talk about London. You probably don't know a lot about the Donegal boys, Cathair, that's involved with London, but Enda McCormick and Nathan Michael Wayne, Brendan, are both part of the panel. They They left the roots of Donegal a couple of years ago, and they're looking to make a mark now in the intercounty scene. So they are. Enda, of course, has been around a senior panel with Donegal before, but Nathan's now in a senior panel with London Playing, having been part of a backroom team for Donegal at one stage. So I'm sure it's very exciting for those two Donegal boys, Brendan, as they head into a league opener against Carlow at the weekend.
Yeah, two great lads that I know well, Nathan and Enda. And, you know, Nathan was involved with Declan Bonner's backroom team last year, and Enda McCormick has been on the fringes of squads and played under 21 with Donegal over the last couple of years. So it's great that them lads are over there. And, you know, London provided great service for GA footballers. And, you know, I've been over there and I've played senior the Connacht Championship over there down through the years. And it's a massive, they've huge respect for it. And it'd be great to see these lads do well with London. It'll be interesting. I know they're away to Carlow this weekend, and, you know, it'll be a big ask for them. But it's hard to know where they're at, really. There's no form guide there from McKenna Cups or FPD leagues or anything like that. So it's hard to know where they're at. Carlow will have a bit of an advantage in that they've played a couple of games, I would imagine. But I tell you, they're two good players, so they are. And, you know, clubmen of your own, Oisín, so we'll be hoping, we'll be all keeping an eye in London this year to hope to see that they can push on, as long as not interfering with Sligo's progress.
Well, there's another team in Division 4 I'm going to mention, Brendan, Tipperary. That'll be looking to get out of there. And there's a Letterkenny Gaels man associated. Kieran Cannon has stepped up to the senior ranks with the Premier County this year. So Tip, given the way they've played in Championship football over the last couple of years, and remember, they won a Munster title too, they'll really want to be out of Division 4, as will Sligo, Brendan.
As will Cavan, who are Ulster champions recently too, you know. So, you're talking about Division 4 and you're looking at two recent provincial champions from, you know, not that long ago, just over 12 months ago. So it's got, you know, every division. And that's why the league is so exciting. You know, there's a lot of really, really good games and the teams are relatively well matched. And, you know, when you see Tipperary and Cavan down Division 4, and it's going to add real spice to it. It's going to be hard for teams like Cavan or like Sligo, Leitrim, London, these teams to make progress, particularly when you have teams of that. But, you know, in Tipperary's, I don't think Quinlivan made himself available this year for some reason, and he's obviously going to be a big loss. He's a huge, huge player for them. So he is. But Tip have a lot of really good footballers, and you would expect Tip and Cavan to have too much for the rest of the teams there. But it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
Yeah. Okay then, guys, time to put your head on the block. Brendan, who's going to win Division 1 and who's going to be relegated?
I think I'll have to go for Dublin because I think there will be a bounce back from them after last year. Who's going to be relegated then? You know, I'd have to say Kildare, and I don't know one of the others. You know, Armagh would be the obvious choice, but that doesn't mean to say that it's going to happen. I think Kildare are going to get a bounce too from, you know, new management up there. They're all excited too about having Paul Galvin in. I think he's doing some coaching on the forwards, but it's, you know, you think there's a lot of experience through the rest of the team, so I think they will struggle the most, and I don't know who the second team is going to be.
Okay then, Cahir, what about you? Who's going to win Division 1 and who's the two teams that are going to drop down?
Kerry would be my favourites to win it at this stage of the year, just because of the attacking quality of 10 to Shane 3 before the thing gets really, really tactical and bogged down. Who's going down? It could be... There's a lot of teams in that mix. I think Kildare well there. Armagh, it's a big second season for them. Second season's always tricky. There's only, six teams in the last decade. Outside of the big sides, only six teams in the last decade have survived more than a year in Division 1, and of those, four got relegated in their second season. So that's what Armagh's challenge looks like. They'll be there. I think Tyrone, just by the nature of their winter again, I think we'll be looking at staying up in Monaghan. I'd be happy to stay up, so... That's your four at the bottom for me.
Right. Okay. Donegal staying out of it then, Cahir? Is that what you're telling us?
Maybe. Maybe five at the bottom and three at the top.
He's been nice, Oisín.
What about Sam Maguire, Cahir? Who are you tipping for it?
Hey, look, I honestly think that because we're not talking about them, there's very little focus, and the fact that a couple of things have gone for them in the last couple of months. Mayo are primed. I just think, you know, they've been the last two All-Ireland finals. You look back at last year's All-Ireland final, and had they taken their goal chances in the first 20 minutes, that's a totally different game. Oisín Mullen staying at home is enormous. What level of fitness Killian O'Connor gets up to, but as Brendan mentioned, Ryan O'Donoghue, Tommy Conroy, Matthew Ryan, those boys are all a year older, a year stronger. I just think that Mayo team is sitting on the cusp of it, and if you're looking for a wee outside bet, definitely Mayo. There's teams there, Kerry, Dublin, all the rest, but just Mayo could be the team for me.
Is that a big call by Cahir, Brendan?
Yeah, it is, but like it makes a lot of sense. You know, they're not. We know they're not going to be far of the eighth because they've competed so well over the last number of years, and they have got a great impetus boost with the availability of Oisin Mullen, Killian coming back, and you know he mentioned Tommy Conroy and Ryan O'Donoghue there too, and an inside line. They're going to take some stopping, so they are, and I just feel, you know, that they've got so close on so many occasions that they are going to push everything out to make sure that they kind of get across the line this year. And, you know, Kerry have their issues defensively. Where are Dublin at after last year will be the big question, I think.
There you go. That's Brendan and Cahir talking Gaelic games, and in particular, the National Football League. By the way, that game between Donegal and Mayo will be live here in Highland from Archvic Park in Sligo. Starts at 1:45, and Highland's coverage in association with Highland Motors Mountain Top in Letterkenny. Martin McHugh will be on commentary with me for that one. We're looking forward to it. Donegal are also looking forward to the game, and they'll continue their preparations at training tonight ahead of the tie against the Green and Red of Mayo. It's a start of a hectic schedule. 7 games over a 9-week period as they lead into the championship in the month of April. I've been speaking with Donegal boss Declan Boner this week, and he says he's expecting the usual tough affair against the Mayo men this weekend. So Declan, just before we look ahead to the start of the National League this coming Sunday, where of course you have a tie against Mayo at Marchvic Park in Sligo, the traditional pre-season build-up to the competitive stuff concluded last week with the McKenna Cup. Did you get out what you wanted out of the competition and over the course of the 4 games that you played, Declan?
Yeah, we definitely did. Actually, it was great to get the 4 competitive matches, and you know, probably from the first game to Down and then Antrim and Derry and to Monaghan, the standard race was raised in every game, and you know, ultimately the game on Saturday was very, very competitive, played at a good level and a good intensity. So yeah, it was real ideal preparation from our point of view. Ideally, we would have liked to win the match, but listen, ultimately we left ourselves with too much to do. But you know, we finished the game strongly in the last half hour.
What was the positives then from the competition, Declan? Because you did, of course, blood several new players through the course of the competition as well. So, in your mind, what was the positives that you're taking out of that now into the league?
I think we looked at over 30 players in the 4 games. We also got an opportunity, as I say, to bring back a lot of the senior players in terms of getting game time. You know, you're always looking for, especially in the build-up to National League campaign, you want to make sure guys are up to speed. And we got guys back on the pitch. We looked at a number of younger lads. And and there's competition for places within the group. Yeah, we still have a number of injuries, which is unfortunate, but it's always the case. You're going to be missing a few. But overall, I'd have to be, you know, happy with where the lads are at. And as I say, the guys that have come in have really, you know, up the ante in terms of training, and the intensity levels have risen over the last number of weeks.
I suppose one of those other positives, and I know we spoke about it before, Declan, Michael Murphy, he put in a fine performance in the second half, and he's very, very close to getting back to 100% ahead of the league.
Yeah, listen, exactly. Listen, Michael's trained well over the last number of weeks, and he's getting back, and no more than anyone else. It's absolutely vital that we keep him now on the pitch, and you know, we've got to manage that. And as I say, there's a lot of games coming up. There's a lot of important games coming up. Division 1 is going to be very, very competitive, and you know, once that league finishes, it's straight into the championship. So yeah, there's a lot of challenges along the way, and you know, there's a lot of managing along the way, and we've got to cope, and we take it week on week and see exactly where players are at.
Yeah, will Michael start at the weekend, or is he in the running to start on Sunday?
Listen, exactly, he'll be in the running, no doubt about it. And again, we'll see how we go. We have another session to go before the weekend, and as I know in the past, the best plans in the world can go to one side after a training session. So listen, yeah, we take it each day and each session as it comes, but yeah, now he'll definitely be in the 26th for Sunday.
Yeah, will there be many changes, Declan, to the starting 15, or do you envisage many changes to the 15 which lined out last week ahead of the 15 that's going to start on Sunday?
Yeah, listen, there'll be a number of changes, no doubt. There will be a number. Some will be enforced, some will be some will not be, but no, there will be a number of changes, no doubt. And as I say, but at the same time, it'll not be huge. And you know, the guys that have come in there have really stood up, and some of those guys now will get an opportunity at the next level, which is, you know, at a higher level, going into the start of a National League campaign against probably one of the top two teams in the country consistently over the last 10 years.
Yeah, what's the latest on the injury front with, I suppose, the regular players? And when I say that, I mean the likes of Neil McGee, Hugh McFadden, Stephen McMenamin. And is there any more, Declan, or maybe you'll give us an injury update as to how they are fixed and the situation with the rest of the squad?
Yeah, listen, those guys, yeah, will be another few weeks away. Probably won't see the early part of the National League, and Steve McManaman also, and Oisin Gallen. But, you know, they're back training, so probably the league has come that bit, maybe a bit early for them. But, I mean, all those guys are back now, and it'll be another few weeks probably before. And it takes time then to get into competitive action. So, but again, it's a bit managing that situation. But yeah, listen, as I say, it's unfortunate that we have a number of those guys. But say the medical team are dealing with them and working well with them.
Yeah. So you mentioned about Mayo. They're Declan about being one of the most consistent teams in the country. What kind of game are you expecting on Sunday?
Listen, the games with Mayo down through the years have been, yeah, they've been played at real high intensity. No quarters asked or given. And exactly, it's going to be the same this Sunday. You know, it's in Markovitz Park. It's going to be a big, big crowd there. The crowd's right on top of the pitch. It's going to be a real good atmosphere. In fact, it'll be a championship-style affair in terms of atmosphere. And, you know, this game will go down to wire, no doubt about it. And it's one we've been looking forward to since the National League draw was made. And, yeah, we're just a few days out from it now.
Yeah, is it a good time to meet Mayo? Because I understand the likes of Aidan O'Shea, Lee Keegan. There is no Matthew Ryan. There's a couple of other regulars that'll not be featuring on Sunday. And given the fact that it's in Marchovic Park as well, it's not a bad time of the year to meet Mayo, is it, in the league?
Listen, I mean, it's the same. Every team will be short a number of players. There's no doubt about that there. And listen, we're just glad and delighted that we're back now playing Division 1 football in front of big crowds. And no better way to start than against Mayo. And as I say, we're taking it game on game, but it's going to be a very, very competitive National League campaign. And when you see the teams that are involved, I think it's probably the most competitive it has been for a long, long time. So, yeah, no, listen, it's a tough start, no doubt about it. And we'll have to be at our best to get anything out of it on Sunday. Yeah.
First home game, of course, the following weekend. 4 points from two games, Declan. If that was to happen now in the next couple of weeks, that would put you on a good footing and particularly trying to stay up in the top flight.
I don't even look past next Sunday, Oisin, and we'll look at the points that's on offer next Sunday, and that's what we'll be aiming for. And hopefully, as I say, we'll take it game on game then, and see where that takes us. As I say, it's competitive. 7 weeks out of nine, we'll be out, and then you're in the championship. But no, listen, we want to be playing Division 1 football naturally enough. That's where we want to be, and that's where you get the top games. And you know, for young lads coming into the squad, you know, they're experienced that at a high level against those top teams, and you know that stands by them well then when the championship comes around.
Yeah, just finally, Declan, on the colleges front, because you do have several players involved in third level competition, in particular with the LYIT, who had that fantastic victory against UCD during the week. You're happy enough with the senior contingent playing colleges football and getting good game time ahead of the league start, are you?
Listen, you know, brilliant. Beating UCD at the weekend, one of the established colleges. And, you know, it's only the Letterkenny LYIT second stint in the Sigerson. And, you know, they got to a semi-final in 2020. And now they're in a quarter-final. And, I mean, that's brilliant to put the college. And especially that it's nearly 100% based Donegal-based players. And it's great to see them competing at the highest level in colleges football. And that's great. And, it's difficult because in terms of the players that we have, and it's managing that workload and this game's coming. Some of these guys playing 2-3 games a week now, and it's about managing that. And they need to get their rest and recovery. Otherwise, we'll end up with more players on the treatment table. But no, listen, delighted that they got over the line and they're playing again. I think it's probably be next Tuesday even now. So yeah, it's an exciting time for all those guys.
Yeah, and MLYT boys will be available to you at the weekend. You expect to give them game time in Sligo as well, then, Declan?
Yeah, exactly. They're an important part of the group, no doubt. And as I say, yeah, definitely. And you know, they've all come through the match on Tuesday night. Okay, some have picked up a few knocks and bruises, but nothing too serious. And you know, they will be all available for the weekend.
Donegal boss Declan Boner. And just a note on some other GA fixtures, standout games this weekend, particularly on Saturday. Ulster sides, of course, in action in the All-Ireland Club Series. The North West involvement, Steelstown, Brian Oaks of Steelstown, who are in that intermediate semi-final against Nagail. That one throws in at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Steelstown chasing a place in the All-Ireland Final. It has been a brilliant year to date for the Derry champions, winning at county and provincial level. And can they go one more? Can they get that All-Ireland crown as well? The first hurdle in getting to the final is the semi-final this weekend. Also this weekend, the refixed 2021 Donegal Under-21 hurling final will be played in Burt on Sunday. Setanta are taking on St Eunan's. The game starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And St Eunan's are looking to make history, because if they were to win that title, it would mean they would claim six titles for the year 2021. The other five, as we know, are senior hurling, senior men, senior reserve and under 21 football. And you can add in the ladies intermediate football title as well. St Eunan's continuing on the glory trail on Sunday. To soccer now. Van Harps added another addition to the squad. Earlier today it was confirmed that Croatian Filip Mijelovic has become the eighth new signing at Van Harps ahead of the 22 League of Ireland Premier Division campaign. The 29-year-old forward came through Dynamo Zagreb's academy and was capped at underage level for Croatia. He spent last season in Cambodia, where he netted 13 times in 15 appearances, and he's also played in Croatia, Bulgaria and Italy. Harps, of course, start their new campaign on the 18th of February. That's Friday, the 18th of February, at home to Drogheda United. And they continue with their pre-season games this coming weekend as well. They're taking on Cork on Saturday in a game which will be played behind closed doors. Two games to come this weekend in the Ulster Senior League after their win over Finn Harps on Tuesday night. Monaghan United are back on the pitch at home on Saturday as they play Letterkenny Rovers. That game starts at 2 o'clock. But we could see a change at the top come Sunday at around 4 o'clock. Cockhill Celtic are on the road. They're going to play Derry City Reserves, where a win for Cockhill would put them top of the table. The defending champions, of course, have two games in hand on Bunnaghy United and set a point adrift of the Dry Arch Park men. So a win, however, for Cockhill, and they will be back top of the standings. There's also full programmes at junior level in the Donegal and Inishowen football leagues. In the Donegal Junior League, the leaders in the Saturday Division 1 are Donegal Town. They head to play Kilmacrenan Celtic Reserves. The side at the top in Division 2 are Melton Mariners. They're at home. They will play Castle Finn Celtic Reserves on Saturday. Kilmacrenan Celtic lead the way in the Premier Division in the Sunday action. They've got a tie against Bunnaghy United, making the trip to Letterkenny this weekend. In Division 1, St Catharines are to the fore there. They're on the road as well in Division 1. They have to go to play Cranford United on Sunday. And the leaders in Division 2 are Letterkenny Rovers, back in league action this weekend. Cor Athletic will provide the opposition there. Rovers go into the games 6 points ahead of the rest of the sides at the top. While in the Premier Division, in the Inishowen Football League, the side leading the way are Aya, but they're not playing on Sunday, so it's going to give Greencastle the opportunity to go joint top of the table if they can take victory against Mobile Celtic. Aya are the leaders in the first division. The reserve side are leading the way in the second tier, and they have a 6-point advantage at the top of the table at the moment. Basement club Glengad Reserves will provide the opposition for them this coming weekend. And there's also games to be played in the Ulster Junior Shield. It's quarter-final Sunday in that competition. Carramina FC are up against Gwydor United. Ellers Reserves play Cager Rovers. Redcastle United take on Glencar Celtic. And Dunree United play Buncrana Hearts Reserves. To MMA, Dara Kelly will make his mixed martial arts professional debut next month on the Bellator bill at the 3 Arena in Dublin. The Mobile man will take on Englishman Junior Morgan on February 25th in the rearranged bout, which was called off in November, the night before the fight was due to take place. Kelly, who trains under John Kavanagh, well known of course as the man who trains Conor McGregor, was the number one ranked lightweight and featherweight fighter in Europe before he turned professional. Speaking to me today, Dara said he is using the disappointment of the cancelled fight as fuel for his pro bout.
Well, of course I was disappointed, devastated. There's a lot of hard work put into that, but I'm using it as fuel in a way for this training camp. You know, I'm more motivated. I've got a reason to go in and grind. I'm gonna put it on him this time when he shows up.
Yeah. So, what's the intervening period been like then? Between then and now, and Has your training differed any, or have you just been keeping, just been challenging yourself all the time as you're getting into training sessions there?
Yeah, well, last year was, it was disappointing. I was hoping to get three or four fights. I went through five full fight camps, so training for 8 weeks at a time, and I only got to fight once. You know, four of them fell through. I was meant to fight at the World Championships last year, and I ended up doing my ankle. So I had to get an operation, and that was 8 weeks before Bellator. So I was, I only got about 4 weeks of training in before I was meant to fight Morgan the first time. So maybe this happened for a reason, you know. This time, injury-free, I'm fresh, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. So you had a difficult 2021. What's the overall plan now for 2022? Yes, the immediate fight is Morgan. Is it a case that you want four or five fights now in the coming year, Dara?
Yeah, I'm looking for a quick turnaround after this. Get two out of the way, maybe in April. We'll say I'll go again, and then I would like one early summer, and then one more before the end of the year. So I'd like my plans to go four now.
Yeah, okay. What do you want out of this first fight? What do you want to see yourself take out of it against Junior Morgan? And what sort of opponent is he going to be, Dara?
Well, in all my amateur fights, I finished everyone. I have nine fights, nine finishes. So that's the one thing I'm looking for. I'm going to finish him whatever way it presents itself. I think my pressure, the usual style, pressure him, heavy shots, take him to the ground, and I want to finish him either submission or TKO, ground and pound.
Oh, yeah. The bulk of those 9-0s was all submissions, if I'm right in saying. So,
I think I had seven submissions and two TKOs.
Yeah. So what was your background before you decided to take MMA really, really seriously? Dara, what sort of style of fighting were you under at the time? What variation of the sport?
Well, I started training in a club in Letterkenny, Healy and Gracie. Under Brian Coyle. So
that was jiu-jitsu, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, primarily jiu-jitsu based.
And obviously you're taking that through now to the professional ranks with all the submissions, and it's been a journey that you've enjoyed from those days starting off in Letterkenny, Dara, to where you are now.
Oh yeah, it's a roller coaster, so it is. It's a mad game, like, you know, injuries, the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, all the victories. There's been a lot happened in the last 5 years.
Yeah, three-time Irish champion in such a short period of time. There's nothing wrong with that, Dara.
Ah, well, that's it. You have to stuck in.
Yeah, and obviously John Kavanagh had seen your potential, particularly when you were coming through the amateur ranks, and I'm sure he watched you a lot in your early days. How have you found it, being around the camp of John Kavanagh? Obviously, the link there to Conor McGregor, he's the trainer to Conor McGregor as well. How has John Kavanagh altered the way you look at the sport now?
Oh, massively. My style is completely different. Although my previous style worked very well for me in the amateur game, it was too heavily jiu-jitsu based, and John highlighted that right away, that, you know, I was more of a jiu-jitsu player rather than an MMA fighter. So John's changed my style dramatically. I'd be a bit more wrestling based now. I think it suits the MMA a bit better. And he's shown me the amount of work you have to put in to reach the top, you know. And with his facilities and over 85 professional fighters from all over Europe on the mats every single day, you know, you're forced to level up. So training under John has been brilliant so far.
Yeah. Do you feel lucky that you're in such an environment with a sport that you love, Dara?
I'm grateful day in, day out for it. Like, obviously, I love it. It's challenging. It's tough. Sometimes you think, you know, maybe I'll fucking look for another job. But at the end of the day, that's just because it's that tough. And I love it day in, day out. Grateful for where I am.
Yeah. And when you get a reward, if you can get that reward now at the end of February, it makes all the hard work so much easier to look back on. Maybe there is difficult days and there is tight days in the gym, but when you get those wins, Dara, it's easy to look back on them then.
When your hand's raised, it's all worth it then. Yeah.
And obviously, what's the local support like? Because you're going to Dublin, so you are, Dara. And I'm sure you'll be hoping to get as many Donegal supporters down the road as possible.
Oh, the support I get's brilliant. I think last time I sold roughly 300 tickets, and I think it would have been more if it wasn't for the restrictions last time. But now that there's no certs needed or anything, I'd say there'll be more than 300 coming down. So it'll be great. It really does spur you on that bit more when you have them all cheering for you.
Yeah. We've seen, of course, MMA events before there, be it the Bellator, be it the UFC. The Irish bring a special atmosphere to big events like that, so they do.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the people from last time when they all came down, the fight was cancelled that close to the event. They didn't have time to, you know, they've already left. And a lot of them would never have been at an MMA event before, and they were shocked about the atmosphere. You know, it's nothing they've ever seen before. It's something you just have to experience, that Dublin crowd.
Yeah. Listen, the MMA's in the blood. It's in the family. Younger brother Ryan's at this crack too, is it?
Mm-hmm. He's following the footsteps now.
Yeah, does he have potential like what you had through those early days, Dara?
He does. He gives me tough rounds as it is, and he's only 17. So
yeah,
he was that bit younger when he started. Now he'll be one coming through to watch now.
I'm sure he loves sparring his brother. So does he's joined up with the Clan Wars? Is that right?
Aye, so he's fighting the Clan Wars. You're based in Belfast. He fought there maybe 3 months ago, and he fought very well. He stopped his opponent in the second round, so that was a good test for him.
Good test. Well, listen, just finally then, Dara, if I was to say to you in 3 years' time, in the MMA world, where would you like to be?
3 years' time. Well, I have to say, I think I'll be knocking on the door of the UFC or thereabouts. That's my plan.
Yeah, is that the end game, is it, to get to the UFC? Because that's, at the end of the day, it really is the biggest promotion worldwide, isn't it?
That's where the elite go, so that's what I'm planning. And fingers crossed, with hard work and guidance from John, and I'll get there, so bit by bit.
Hopefully so. Hopefully we'll see you, and you'll be able to achieve your dream and getting there at some stage in the future. But in the meantime, the best of luck, Dara, with the fight against Junior Morgan coming up in February, and I'm sure you'll enjoy the occasion, and no doubt you'll get that TKO or get the submission one as well. The best of luck with.
Yeah, thanks very much.
That's Dara Kelly, and we wish him the very best of luck with his pro debut next month. I'm sure we'll be talking to him again before that fight takes place. Now, youth rugby is thriving in Letterkenny, with the under-18s playing in the Ulster Club League final this weekend. Letterkenny travelled to Ballymoney this Saturday to compete in the final against the hosts, where they have met and beaten twice already this season in their regional league rounds. The 27-strong squad has matured over the season as they clearly relish the expansive style of rugby that is currently being coached at the club. The side has met up with players from Letterkenny and the surrounding areas, including Milford, Trenta, Fannad, Fulcara, Glentys, Newton and Strabane. Under coach Kevin Arnold, they train twice weekly and are fighting for their positions in the first 15 for the game this weekend. Letterkenny met an experienced Carrickfergus side in the semi-final, where they won out 27-7 at Dave Gallagher Park. Men of the match that day went to two Milford men, Ewan Douglas and Ryan Orsi. But Letterkenny will have to focus again. They've got a big decider to come this coming Saturday afternoon as they look to take an underage provincial title, which would be huge for the club. The 2021 Donegal Sports Star Awards take place virtually tomorrow evening, Friday at 7:30. The 46th awards will be streamed live on the Donegal Sports Star Facebook, Twitter and YouTube channels. For the second year running, the event will be presented virtually. With plenty of sporting activity from the summer onwards, the committee will bring in some more categories for the event and will be introducing a few new extra features that is set to give the awards some added appeal. So don't miss them. They are online, able to watch. You will be able to watch them on the Donegal Sports Star social channels tomorrow evening, Friday. Just finally, in athletics, there's another busy weekend ahead between cross country and indoors. The Ulster Masters Cross Country Championships are taking place in Queens and Belfast. That's on Saturday. And then the National Masters Track and Field Indoor Championships are on in Athlone on Sunday. Lots of Donegal competitors heading to both events, and lots of Donegal competitors hoping for PBs and hoping for medals and hoping to be coming back down the road happy from the events on the respective days, Saturday and Sunday this weekend, with some solid performances. Well, that's it for another edition of The Score. Chris Ashmore will have our next sport here in Highland tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So what's left of your Thursday evening, enjoy it. Me, Oisin Kelly, good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.